If you open up your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, we'll be beginning our Advent series. And in case you're wondering, that artwork is from our very own Rebecca, as she's just kind of like embarrassed. No, she's not. She's proud. So I asked her to draw these pictures to help us, you know, imagine these scenes as we go through it together to remember what it would have been like for these people during the first Advent. So if you are able, please rise for the reading of God's Word. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So now that we're in the month of December with the end of 2024 in sight and just a 2025 just around the corner, it's a season that many of us look forward to as we get to spend some time of much needed rest, time with families, and for Christians, the season to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for those who have finals coming up, have hope, the end is near. You know, in our family, in our home as well, we've been looking forward to Christmas ever since before Halloween. We're just waiting for Halloween to finish so that we can start you know, putting up the lights and turn on the Christmas music. Right? People look forward to Christmas for different reasons. Right? Now, starting this week, we will be looking at four people or groups of people tied to the season of Advent and how they responded to the good news. First of all, what is Advent? Right? You may have heard the word a lot, especially if you have those Advent calendars. Right, especially you know, some of you have like those chocolate ones where every day you eat one until you count down to Christmas. So they now have those Lego ones too, where every day you make a little Lego piece. Right, Advent by definition is the arrival of a notable person, thing, or an event. Right? It's the arrival. Right, that's what Advent is. And during December, the word Advent specifically refers to the coming of Christmas. But the true meaning of Advent is not to celebrate the day of Christmas, but the reason for the day, right? The coming of Jesus Christ. So churches would typically spend 4 weeks leading up to Christmas to remember the coming of Christ. And the key word I want us to remember for this Advent season is the word unexpected. Unexpected. Because in life, we come across a lot of unexpected events. Right, unexpected visitors, unexpected news, whether it's good or bad, unexpected child even. Right, some are harmless, like finding unexpected money in your winter coat that you just took out, and they're like, "Oh, there's money inside." Right, there's something like that. But some of these unexpected events tend to be life-changing, whether for good or for bad. Personally, 4 years ago, I was unexpectedly diagnosed with Moyamoya disease, right? And 2 years ago, I was not expecting to start planning to plant this church, right? The heart to plant a church came unexpectedly. And last year, we found out that we were going to have an unexpected child. And like with any child, it's life-changing. Now, again, to be honest, at first, we were devastated. Right, Joanna was just starting to get back into her career. We just started Sunflower Church, and we found out that Joanna was pregnant with her fourth baby. Right, all our plans had to change. Right, we were worried about the kids since they were going to go to a new school starting that year, and they needed our attention more than ever. Life was going to get busier. Right, we just planted a church, and now we were going to have a baby. To be honest, it really felt like our plans and dreams were in trouble. Right? But we came to accept that all children are, you know, gifts from God, and decided to call the baby Blessing, while the baby was in the belly, right? To remind us that he is an unexpected gift, an unexpected blessing for us. And after baby Asher arrived, whose name means joy and blessing, we quickly realized that he was indeed a gift. Right? God had a different idea for what gives us joy in our lives. We thought that our plans and our dreams that we have planned out will give us joy and happiness. And our first character in our Advent series is going to agree. So this morning, I want us to meet our first character from the nativity story. And this person also had an unexpected news of a baby. We are going to look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, whether you've been going to church for a long time or if this is your first time, right, I'm sure that you know who Mary is. And most people would hear songs during this season, like Mary, Did You Know on the radio this season. And the sad truth is that in Christianity, the Catholics tend to overemphasize Mary, whereas the Protestants, like us, tend to underemphasize Mary. Right, today I want to present Mary as a model of faith to follow, showing us how we can respond when God happens. And that's the title of this Advent series, When God Happens. When suddenly God appears, when suddenly God intervenes, when suddenly God calls us. All right, to do this, I want to simply walk through the text and explain as I go. So this won't be like my typical 3-point sermon, right? So this will be more like a story and a narrator just explaining what's going on. So here we go. Verse 26 and 27. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Here we see the setting of this story. Like all good stories, we need to have the right setting, right? The sixth month, right? Whenever it was first reading this, I thought, is this June, right? Then that would mean that 9 months from there, that would make it like March. Is Christmas supposed to be March? Right? That's kind of what I first thought. But if we read it, it's actually the sixth month of pregnancy of Elizabeth. Right? That's what this is referring to. Elizabeth appears in the section above the one that we read from Luke chapter 1, verse 5 to 25, when Gabriel comes to foretell about the birth of John the Baptist. Right? Now, Luke tells us that Elizabeth was a descendant of Aaron, who was Moses' older brother and the first high priest of Israel. Right? And only from Aaron's line came high priest. So this would make her from a high priestly family. Now, she was old and barren, meaning she had no children. Right? She was now, by this time, past the age of being able to bear children as well. And back then, to be barren was looked upon as something shameful. And she was a relative of Mary. Now, Gabriel, who is one of the archangels, appears to Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth, to tell him that Elizabeth will become pregnant with a son, and he is to name him John. And in my weird mind, I'm thinking, you know, if we knew whether we were having a son or daughter right away, like, you know, we wouldn't have gender reveal parties, but I digress. Now, this is a child who would become John the Baptist, right? And Elizabeth did not reveal that she was pregnant for 5 months. And on the sixth month of pregnancy, Gabriel was about to visit Mary and tell her the good news. Now, Mary comes from a town called Nazareth in the region of Galilee. And you will recognize that name because Jesus comes from Nazareth, right? They call him Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth is now, currently the largest city in the northern district of Israel, but it was small and insignificant back in Jesus' day. Right, some notes that Luke had to specify that it's a city in Galilee because not many people would even know about its existence. Okay. So, in fact, when Jesus begins his ministry and begins to call his disciples, right, Nathanael says the famous words, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Right, after hearing that Jesus comes from Nazareth. Right, that's the kind of the reputation that it had. It was infamous for being like this back of the mill hick town, right? Nothing good, nothing important, nothing significant was going to come out. Right, they expected the Messiah to come from somewhere more important or significant like Jerusalem. Not only that, Mary was poor. Right? Now, later in the story, when Mary and Joseph go to Jerusalem to present Jesus to God, right, because they were supposed to do that in the temple, they bring a pair of turtle doves for sacrifice, for offering. Now, there's nothing wrong with offering doves as offering, but it was usually a lamb. Mary did not have a little lamb in this case, right? Doves were for those who couldn't afford a lamb. In fact, in Leviticus chapter 12, verse 8, it says that if she cannot afford a lamb, that is a mother who just gave birth, right? Then she shall take two turtle doves or two pigeons because they were a lot cheaper than a lamb. So again, we see that Mary was poor and most likely Joseph was poor as well. A couple of more things to learn about Mary here. Since she is a relative of Elizabeth, she too would have been a descendant of Aaron. Now, I was going to actually mention this next week, but to kind of give you a hint of what the significance of this is, right? Mary comes from the line of Aaron, the high priest family, and Joseph comes from the line of David, right? Where kings come from. So we know Jesus to be the king and the high priest, right? You see the connection there and how God was bringing these two family lines together, right? All converging to this one point where we have a royal priest, a king, a high priest, like the line of like the king Melchizedek from Old Testament. Now, her name Mary is actually from the Hebrew name Miriam. As the Gospels are written in Greek, when they wrote the name Miriam in Greek, it was written as either Mariam or Maria, okay? And hence the song, you know, Ave Maria, or names like Santa Maria, right? In English, it became Mary. Now, Miriam first appears in Old Testament as the older sister of Moses, right? The sister who followed the basket with Moses in it and ended up telling the Pharaoh's daughter that, you know, she'll go find a nurse and so on. Right, it was customary to name a child after someone from the genealogy, right, from their ancestors. So it's safe to assume that Mary was also related to Aaron. Now she was betrothed to Joseph, a man from the line of David, and we learned about what it means to be betrothed. But once again, as a reminder, betrothed means that they were engaged, but it was more than just an engagement in today's standards. They were practically married; they just didn't live together yet, right? And the betrothed would call each other husband and wife. And if they broke off the engagement, it would be actually considered a divorce, right? You didn't just break off an engagement. They had to go through the process of divorce. Now, once they were betrothed, they would live separately for about a year, each preparing for the wedding, right? Joseph would have been there in his father's house preparing to welcome Mary. And Mary would have been preparing herself to be the bride. And Mary says that she's a virgin, so there was no chance for her to be pregnant. She was keeping her promise to Joseph and to God by staying chaste. Now, one last background about Mary is that she is part of a group called Anawim. Now, what is this? Here's how Scott McKnight, a New Testament scholar and historian, summarizes about the Anawim. Historians agree on these on three characteristics of Mary's people, the Anawim. These people suffer because they are poor, But they expressed their hope by gathering at the temple in Jerusalem. There they expressed to God their yearning for justice, for the end of oppression, and for the coming of the Messiah. Each of these characteristics of the Anoim finds expression in the life of Mary, and especially in the Magnificat. Now, that's the song of Mary that comes later on, right? Now, she may have been poor, but she was full of hope. And though she did not have much, she was faithful to God. So here's this young woman who could be as young as 14 at this point, from an unknown rural town of Nazareth, poor and engaged to a carpenter, going about her day as she prepared for what is supposed to be her happiest day in her life, her wedding day. Then God happens. And Gabriel, right, came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Now let me just pause there, right? Now, when prophets appear before people in the Old Testament, right, prophets were those people sent by God to tell his message, right? Like Jonah and Samuel. You may remember that when Samuel visited Bethlehem to find a new king, right, the people in that town were afraid. Like, what is coming? What kind of bad news is coming? What kind of warning is God sending to us? Now here's an angel, not even a prophet, an angel, and not just an angel, but an archangel who stands in the presence of God, right? This would be like the highest ranking angel. And he comes to Mary and essentially says, "Hello," right? And she's afraid, like, what's going on? And we see that Mary is greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Now, when God happens, it's troubling. Why? Because your life is about to change. When God happens, your plans change, your lives change, history changes. And for Mary, she was preparing for her wedding. But she was just keeping herself chaste and faithful, doing her best to prepare herself for Joseph and the wedding day. Then God happened. Gabriel came. Something was about to happen. Something was about to change. And it's right that she tried to discern what this could be about. And this is one of the reasons why she is her model to follow. The word here for discern means to think or reason carefully about the implications of something. Right? You think through, like, what would this mean? What would this imply? What would happen as a result of this? And when something unexpected happens and you feel that it's something from God, we need to think carefully about it. In fact, when anything happens in life, we need to be always thinking, why is this happening? Or why isn't this happening? Asking God, what could this mean? What do you want? What is your will, God? Because everything that God does has a reason, and the mature in faith will always try to discern his will. And for Mary, she would have considered her circumstance and started becoming anxious or afraid. Because she was, you know, she was having a good time getting ready for the wedding, and all of a sudden God appears. And we know this because Gabriel reassures her by saying, "Do not be afraid." And right after saying that, he drops the bomb. And funny how God does that, right? Whenever God or his angels say, "Do not be afraid," he is about to commission the people to do something great. Right? God told Moses not to be afraid before sending him to Egypt. Right? God told Joshua not to be afraid before sending him to the wall of Jericho, telling him to just walk around 7 times. God told Zechariah not to be afraid, and God told Mary not to be afraid. When God happens, it's so that you can join in his work and his kingdom. It's his invitation for you to take part in his kingdom work. But the task may seem monumental, almost impossible. But he tells us, do not be afraid. And perhaps that's what you need to hear as you contemplate what God has been giving in your heart this year. Now, just look at how Gabriel describes what's about to happen to Mary, right? He says, "Do not be afraid," and this is what he says. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. This is the good news, right? This is the gospel, hope to the world. But this good news seemed too good to be true. Right? Given Mary's circumstance, it seemed highly unlikely to happen. Right? I mean, for a young woman in a rural village of Nazareth, giving birth and raising a son who will be the Messiah seems like an impossible task, doesn't it? Raising up to be the king, right? And the kind of king they had in mind was this warrior king. But father that, you know, the supposed father is a carpenter. And Gabriel adds that this is because she has found favor with God. He tells her that this is actually a gift from God. Now, one thing we must realize here in verse 30 is that God's gift, right? His grace happens not because of who we are or what we've done, but purely out of the goodness of God. Again, looking at Mary, there's nothing in her specs, right? Her background, her circumstance to make her deserving of this good news. Whatever that has happened in your life that has brought you closer to God, or where you experienced God, or whenever God happened in your life, it was all because of His grace. Right? It's not because you never skipped Sundays. It's not because you never missed a day of reading the Bible and so on. It's all purely out of God's grace. Now, Mary, as an Anawim, had been praying for justice and liberation and for the Messiah. And this comes after a 400-year period of silence where God did not send any prophets after Malachi. And God was going to answer that prayer, not because of who she was, but because of who He is. It's all up to Him and His will. But if there's one pattern, right, one sure pattern of how God chooses people, is that He chooses the lowly and the humble, right? He chooses the weak over the strong. He chooses the humble over the proud. And He chooses the faithful over the powerful, right? Instead of choosing King Herod's wife, who's in the palace, to bear the child who would be the true king of Israel, God chooses a rural town girl. And instead of welcoming the king in a palace, surrounded by servants and midwives, getting the best of the best service, this king would come in a smelly manger, surrounded by smelly animals and smelly, unlikely guests. And instead of being born into a reputable social status, right, like deserving of a king, he was going to be the child of two parents who would become the town gossip. And that's Christmas. We are celebrating the birth of the king who would die at the age of 33 in the most humiliating and excruciating way possible at the time. And that's what Christmas is about. Let's not forget that that is whom we are waiting for. Right? The true meaning of Christmas is God coming into this world as a human in the most unexpected way, through the most unexpected parents, during the most unexpected time, right? During when Israel was actually under Roman rule. And that's why it's worth celebrating, because God happened unexpectedly. Now, there's still one question that lingers in our minds. How is this going to happen? How is the virgin birth going to happen? And certainly that's a question in Mary's mind as well. Now, many people have problem with miracles in the Bible, right? That's probably one of the things that's harder to believe in the Bible. And in the life of Jesus, there have been many miracles, but two big miracles stand out: His birth and His resurrection. His resurrection actually has a lot of historical evidence, right, by the fact that there were, you know, more and more believers were coming to Christ, right, and the apostles were going and delivering this gospel even to death. But His immaculate birth, the virgin birth, is the one people have more trouble with. Now, while I was preparing this sermon, I did come across an interesting article, right? It said, an inmate has miracle baby after getting pregnant in prison through air vent. I thought, what a great timing, right? At first, I was like, what the, but, the second time, I'm like, oh, this is great. This is going to be great for the sermon, right? A miracle baby. But really, I mean, if you read the article, if you Google it, you see how they did it, right? And for those of us who know biology, we know that humans can't have a baby without the dad. Right? We know this, which is why a virgin birth seems impossible. And you know what? Mary knew this too. Everyone around the time knew it as well. And some people think that people back then were, less educated and more superstitious. So the concept of virgin birth would have been believable. But even the people of the Bible knew that virgin birth was impossible. And that's why this was a sign that only God can give. And the famous verse that you hear often during Advent is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, which says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This verse was written about 700 years before Jesus was born. And people knew that virgin birth was impossible, so they would have taken that as a symbol, more like a metaphor. But we can see from Gabriel that it's not merely a metaphor. It was actually going to happen. Now, let me pause and ask you all a question. Just because we think that something seems impossible, does that actually make it impossible? Just because we may not be able to come up with the solution, does that mean there's no solution? Now, I want to give you guys a fun little illustration, and I need a volunteer for this. Any volunteers? Yeah? Okay, Abby, you can come down. Your hand was up first. Now, as she's coming down, I'm going to show you guys this. I don't know if you guys know this, but here you see a piece of paper. Can you guys all see it? It has a little hole in it, okay? And I'm holding here a little coin, okay, which is, as you can see, bigger than the hole, right? You can see that. Can you see up there too, Alice? Yeah? I'm going to ask Abby here to fit this coin through this hole without ripping the paper, okay? Can you try this? Here, come over here. Right. Don't rip it though, okay? He's folding it. Trying it out. That's not going to fit, is it? Right? Don't rip it. Don't rip it. You're ripping the paper.
I
want
to try.
You can, okay, if you want to try, you can try it after service. All right, I'm going to give you like 10 more seconds. Can you try? No, you're going to rip it. You're going to rip it. Okay, go sit down for a second.
Did you rip it?
Almost. Now, that seems impossible. You can try it afterwards, right? Is there a way for this to fit in? And again, I mean, this is not going to prove that Jesus is virgin birth, but here is an illustration, right? I have the same paper here, basically. Okay, I'm going to use the same one. Just because we can't come up with a solution doesn't mean that there isn't a solution, right? If you fold the papers like so, okay, I mean, and that just made the hole smaller. And if you fold it one more time, right, and just so that you guys are not, for those of you who are skeptical, right, there is a hole right here, and it's the same hole, okay? I'm not creating a different hole here. It's the same hole. I'm just folding it, okay? And all I got to do is fold it like that. And you can see, where's the coin? You guys want to get a closer look, huh? Sorry, I should have really put down my mic for this. Okay, and you can see that the coin actually does go through. Ooh, and just so that you guys, don't think that this is a trick, right? That is the same hole. Now, again, that's not going to prove the virgin birth. I'm just here to illustrate that just because we can't come up with a solution, just because it seems impossible, doesn't mean that it is. Gabriel was going to tell Mary how this was going to happen. And the angel answered her in verse 35, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. Again, this is the good news again. Right? The first one is about the coming king, and this one is about how he will come about. Now, these three verses contain so much hope for us. First, the power of God is able to bring life out of nothing. Just like how God was able to create the universe in the beginning out of nothing, God is able to create a child in Mary's womb out of nothing. And that's why it's called a miracle. Where there should be no life, God creates life. And what that means to us is that when we think that nothing good could come about out of our life, God can still bring about good and bring about life. Christmas time seems like a very festive and happy time with all the lights, the music, and gifts. But without Jesus, those would all be flashy displays just to make us feel good. It doesn't change our circumstance. It doesn't change anything. Even the things that we enjoy during Christmas season is all because God brought life and light into darkness. Like how Pastor Terry Kaufman shared last week, even if you lose your job, it doesn't mean that you lost hope. For we have a God who can bring something out of nothing. And this God will come as a child. He will know what it's like to be a human. He can sympathize with us and know how difficult it is to live as humans. Where we are prone to wonder, prone to sin, we are weak and selfish, and knowing all that still, he chose to come and die for us. Literally, he came so that he could die. And I imagine what it would have been like for Mary, right? It's already difficult for her to accept the conception of Jesus, right? For his conception would change everything for her. But little does she know that her son, the one who will be called the Son of the Most High, will be lifted up on the cross and die a humiliating death at the age of 33. Right, for any mother, right, watching your son, your child die before you is one of the most painful things she has to go through. Right, you like the song, Mary, did you know? The answer is no, she didn't. But God did. And he is giving himself as a gift to Mary and to all of us. And just to give hope to Mary, Gabriel tells her that Elizabeth is already 6 months pregnant. Right? Because she knows what Mary is going through. And that's one of the Christian hope we have as well. And look, the world is not going to understand us very well. Right? But God will surround us with other believers who understand us, others to encourage us, others to give us hope. Like how Mary had Elizabeth and Joseph, God will send others around you to help you hold on to the hope he gives. Spending time with family and friends on Christmas, that's great. But let us think and remember the people of God whom God put around us to help run this race together as well. And let's look at one last hope from God. It's the last verse there. For nothing will be impossible with God. Right? If God was able to give Mary a child, even though she was a virgin, right? Whatever you think is impossible in your life may not be so impossible after all. Is God telling you to live in a more Christ-like way, but you feel like your sins are weighing you down? Pray that God will help. Nothing will be impossible for God. Is God telling you to try even greater things for the kingdom of God this coming year? Right? But you feel like you were only given like 5 loaves and 2 fish. What am I going to do with this, God? Pray that God will use that to do great things. Nothing will be impossible for God. These are the messages that we need to remember during Christmas. And Mary's story is a vivid reminder that nothing is impossible with God. And because Mary believed in God, She is called the Blessed One. Now remember this. To be blessed is not so much about your current circumstance, what you have right now. You're blessed not because of your current reality, but the spiritual reality that is already happening in you and around you. Again, your blessing. To be blessed means the spiritual reality that is already happening. Did Mary know right away that God Himself will be inside her womb? No. Only as a baby grew in her belly did she realize that God's words were coming through. True. Right? Only as a baby, after being born, grew into a boy, did she realize that this boy considers God his father. And only as the boy grew into the man, did she realize that the Spirit of God was with him. And only as a man, her son, hung on the cross, did she realize that God was going to rescue her and God's people from their sins. And only as her dead son came back to life, did she realize that all this time she had been carrying in her belly, in her arms, and in her hearts, the great I Am. You are blessed, O Sunflower Church, because the Lord is with you. Is with you. Not even will be with you. He is with you. Because He will bring about the fruit of the Spirit in you. And He is bearing this fruit in you. And for us to receive that gift, to see the fruit of the spiritual reality, we must be like Mary. And look what he said, and look what she said. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And this is where Mary's faith really shows. If it were you or me in our shoes, and I can personally say I would not be able to say something. Right, those words would be truly difficult to say. Because let me show you the implications of what she's saying. To the townspeople, she'll be labeled as something called na'ap, which means an adulteress. And especially as someone who's betrothed to Joseph, people will look at her with shame and scorn. Right? Was it true? By no means. But that's what the town gossip is going to be like. And certainly her beloved Joseph would also think that way. She knew that Joseph would most likely divorce her, or at worst, she'll be killed for sin of adultery. Her life was about to be ruined, especially when being a single mom was extremely difficult during that time for someone like Mary, who is already poor. She won't be able to prove that she was chaste because she won't have the chuppa to show for it. Mary and Jesus will live with shame and scorn all their lives, right? They'll be socially ostracized. And she's willing to give up her dreams, her happiness for God's will. And that's where her spiritual maturity shows. You see, God's will has both his good purpose and good pleasure. Like how a parent wishes what's best for his or her child, God's will is for us. And like an obedient child who trusts what the parents tell them is for their own good, Mary obeys and submits to God's will. When she said, let it be to me according to your word, did she know, like the lyrics, that her son will one day walk on water? That one day save our sons and daughters? One day make her new by delivering her from her sins? That one day he will make the blind see, the deaf hear, and the dead live, dead rise? And that one day he will die the most gruesome death and then rise again from the dead? No, Mary did not know. Yet, she said yes to God's will. And that's faith. She could have lived a quiet but happy life with Joseph. Maybe even help Joseph, you know, expand his carpentry business. Be able to offer lambs instead of turtle doves. Or perhaps one day even bulls. But God had other plans for her and Joseph. God brought them closer to himself by giving them a very special calling. When God happens, our life gains meaning and purpose above our own. Os Guinness, let me just end with a couple of quotes. Os Guinness, an English theologian and the great-great-great-grandson of Arthur Guinness, the one who created the Guinness beer, said, "The trouble is that as modern people, we have too much to live with and too little to live for. In the midst of material plenty, we have spiritual poverty. Mary was on the verge of living in perpetual poverty, but her spirit was rich, knowing that she was now living for the great salvation plan of God. And though she was poor, she can say that she is rich because she said yes to the greatest gift of all of humanity. And if you're here and you're still on the fence about saying yes to God, let Mary's story be an encouragement to you. And let what I'm about to say encourage you as well. And these are the words of Dorothy Sayer, an English novelist most famous for her detective novels and a Christian writer. And she said, "Whatever game God is playing with his creation, he has kept his own rules and played fair. He can exact nothing from man that he has not exacted from himself." In other words, God will never make us go through what he himself won't or haven't gone through. You see, by receiving Jesus into her life, Mary was now going to live with shame and gossip around her, being misunderstood, mistreated, even though she was innocent. But here's what God does. Here's how God plays fair. By going to the cross, he goes through the most shameful and humiliating death. By doing so, he takes our sin and shame to the cross so that we can stand before God with confidence and in righteousness. What God asked Mary to do, he himself did and more. So Christmas time is time of hope. Hope for those who live in shame, for the gift of Christmas came to take away our shame. And that's why we are able to say Merry Christmas. Let us pray. God, we come before you once again with this story of Mary and her faith. And we pray that you would also encourage us and remind us to not be afraid, for you are with us. God, help us to see the spiritual reality that is happening in us. And help us to live by faith like Mary did, so that we may be blessed and that we can bless others as well. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and all this in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.